This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined as always by my good friend, Robert Stewart. And we are here to break down opening weekend for the Razorback baseball team and also preview another trip to Arlington for the college baseball series at Globe Life Field. We are going to be live on the scene this weekend in Arlington, assuming weather allows so. We don't know that for sure, but we're hoping we will be there. We got plans to be there, and we're excited to talk about it. Your number five Arkansas Razorbacks, 4-0 after opening weekend swept the Washington State Cougars. And my not related to him, but Nathan Choate, second-year head coach there at Washington State. A fun team to watch. Interesting. They had a ton of new faces, as does Arkansas. We were able to see a lot of those new faces. And so as we get into this episode, Robert, normally our weekend recaps, we go inning by inning of each game, but with only one episode each week of the Diamond Hogs Podcast in Season 5, which, by the way, not everybody can go five seasons. Season 5 of the Diamond Hogs Podcast, only one episode a week, so we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. So for our loyal listeners of 5 years, it's not going to be exactly what you're used to, but we're excited to talk about it, Robert. Opening weekend, it was great to be back at the ballpark. I got the pulled pork fries, I think, 3 out of the 4 days, and then I went burger the fourth day. They closed the Tacos for Life in the stadium, Robert. What are we doing, Baumwalker?
Yeah, I mean, going for that queso was a favorite of mine when I was at the yard 3 days a week. But and that's too bad to hear. But you know, I'm glad something's never changed. You're still getting those pulled pork fries.
Yes, they were delicious. The weather awful, just terrible weather. I mean, Friday, even being in the press box, our feet were just cold. It was cold in the press box. We had all the windows closed, and so I can't imagine being outside. And then Saturday was a misty day. Sunday it was too cold to play. Monday was all right. But the Razorbacks, they get the job done, Robert. The first game was a little bit of it was interesting for a little bit there. You know, you have to win in extras 3-2 in 10 innings, but then you run roll them there in the second half of the doubleheader on Friday, 14-2 in 7 innings. And looked like what you were expecting this team to look like. Saturday, you win 5-2, and then Monday, you run roll them again in 7 innings, 12-2. Robert, your overall takeaways from opening weekend?
Yeah, I mean that doubleheader. You felt a lot better about the back half of it than the what's the opposite of a nightcap matinee. You know. It was like you said, low scoring, not really getting anything going on offense in that game. Let's see if I can find the runners in scoring position numbers. 1-for-8 for the Hogs in the first game, and then you know they just manufactured a run with those walks in the 10th. You know, if you're Washington State, probably don't give up 4 walks when one of them scoring a run would end the game. Felt a lot like last year, right? Lots of chances, just couldn't really put them away. And then, you know, fast forward to game two, everything's moving a lot more smoothly. 13 hits. They went 5-for-15 with runners in scoring position, so a lot better. You regress a little bit on Saturday. You know, it was only a 5-2 game. 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position, so definitely not as good there. And then you run roll them again on Monday after the day off. And even then, you know, 9 runners left on base. We talked about it before we started recording, right? 3 different times leaving the bases loaded. So as far as offense goes, I don't think there's a lot to conclude. That's sort of just what happened. I'm always of the mindset that the first month doesn't really matter. Wait till you see how you fare against conference opponents. But on the other side, in terms of pitching, I was very encouraged, right? 2 runs allowed in every game. Nice little symmetry there. All the new starters look really good, right? We saw Gackle a lot last year in relief. Did an effective job starting the opener, you know, going 5 innings, shutout, 7 strikeouts. You got 7 strikeouts from – or 8 strikeouts from Zach Root. the ECU transfer that he looked awfully good. Only one run allowed. Gage Wood, a little bit shakier with two earned, but he had seven strikeouts himself, and then Bidelsheese with seven more in five innings on Monday. So I liked what I saw from the starting pitchers for sure. I think Dave mentioned it in that post-game huddle on Monday. Played really clean defense throughout the weekend. Feel like that was probably one of the key differences, right? Washington State made a bunch of errors, including four in the finale on Monday. So, they're playing certainly what we're used to in terms of having watched 2024 Arkansas baseball, right?
Yeah, man. The starting rotation lived up to the hype, and that was one of the things that really stood out to me and everybody else from opening weekend. Between your four starting pitchers, each of them go five innings each, which was another symmetry thing, like very clean. That was beautiful. Everybody goes five innings, so 20 innings combined between the four of them.
It was just
They
that
only,
one extra strikeout from Root. Otherwise, they would have all had seven.
yeah. Well, so they combined to give up three earned runs on nine hits. Only, let's see, that group of four issued just four combined walks and 29 strikeouts between them. So, not bad. Gage Wood, that was a career high in strikeouts for him. So that was it was just a great weekend for the starting pitching. And then you go to the bullpen each day, and for the most part, everybody did their job. You talk about Will McIntyre opening day goes 2 2/3. That was good to see. Carson Wiggins, his first four pitches, 100 miles an hour. I saw people online. There was an LSU freshman pitcher, and I don't know his name, to be honest. I'll figure it out at some point. And he was throwing 96. And people were like, how is there a freshman in college baseball throwing 96? Meanwhile, we got Carson Wiggins throwing 100 four times in a row in Fayetteville. And he's also got a second pitch. I don't know if it's a changeup, to be honest. I think it's a changeup. And DVH even said on Wednesday that the umpire just missed one or two pitches. And he was like, Carson just fooled the umpire because we know that it was a strike. And so that's a guy. That's another guy you got. Aiden Jimenez. It was good to see him get on there. Tate McGuire, Dylan Carter. Like, this is. It was good to see everybody. And what I want to get into now, Robert, though, is the opening day lineup. So let's go to that because that's the lineup that everybody wanted, to talk about. That's the thing you're always trying to predict leading up to it. So lead off, we knew Charles Davalon or Davalon, I think is how it's pronounced. We're going with Davalon. That's what we're going with, Davalon, the Moneyball guy.
Just fully Americanizing it.
The Moneyball guy. Which by the way, how many times did he get on base? What's his OBP after opening weekend? Do you have it off the top of your head?
I have him at 368.
Yeah, what's Justin Thomas at? Because I think we might need to switch it to
Well,
Justin Thomas.
and you think about the origin of the Moneyball guy, at least on this podcast, it was Zach Gregory, drawing walks in the nine hole. Justin Thomas sitting at 667 OBP, and he is the team leader with seven walks.
Okay, so just after watching opening weekend and exactly what you were talking about just there. I feel like we might need to everybody just allow us to change the Moneyball guy to Justin Thomas. I need to text Riley because he's not here, and we have made Riley an official part of the podcast. But I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna text Riley. Can we make Justin Thomas the Moneyball guy? Because I think we need to at this point after opening weekend.
I
So.
agree. And like I said, he fits the Zach Gregory mold, and that's what I think we need to stay true to.
Yeah. Okay. Charles Davalon hits lead off. Then we had Bejba Aloy, Rocco Pepi, Brent Iredale. Hold on, I'm on game two. I'm sorry. This is opening day. Sorry. Charles Davalon, Bejba Aloy. Then it was Logan Maxwell. Then Brent Iredale, Nolan Souza, Rocco Pepi, Kendall Diggs, Ryder Helfrich, Justin Thomas Jr. I no surprises there aside from no, I don't think there were any surprises there. Now game two, DVH changed it up a little bit. So he goes Cahillo Aloy at DH. Logan Maxwell did not play in game two. Then we saw Michael Anderson at first base, Cam Kojal at second base, Rocco Pepi moved to right field. Kendall Diggs did not play in this game. So, you know, what I liked was DVH really messed with the lineup this weekend. A lot more than I feel like, at least in our time, you know, talking about this team, watching this team, he has on an opening weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think a double header helps with that a little bit, right? But I always think it's good to get as many bats as you can in the rotation, you know, for the first four games. Especially, you know, try things out before you go get a taste of some better competition in Arlington. Yeah, I mean, you talk about second base, it was Nolan Souza who went 1 for 7, and it was Cam Kojal who went 3 for 8. Seems like, based on those numbers right there, it'd be Kojal's job to lose. But Nolan Souza also has the advantage of having played SEC games at Arkansas before, right? Although Kojal's the Vanderbilt guy, right?
He is. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to sit here for a second and talk about the second base position, because Nolan Souza had a rough opening weekend. Cam Kojal, a transfer from Vanderbilt, who is sitting there, you know, just waiting to take that second base spot. And I just keep thinking about the first episode, and I said, where's Cam Kojal, or what happened to Cam Kojal? And then, you know, the last weekend of scrimmages before opening weekend, man, he just hit the ball really well. And then opening weekend, he comes out and he hits the ball really well, Robert.
Yeah, see, that's a good sign.
And it is. And Nolan Souza did not. And that's just a fact. And
Right.
Dave Van Horn was asked about it on Wednesday, and he didn't seem concerned, but he said that Nolan struggled against the changeup, which is notable, and that's on film now. But another notable thing about Kojal is that we don't have to limit him to second base, because what we learned from Dave Van Horn is that this guy can kind of do it all. I think he can play in some of the outfield. DVH said if Iredale needs a day off at third, or if Iredale, you know, God forbid, gets hurt, Kojal could play at third. They talked about Kojal at outfield, and here's the interesting thing. Also Kojal at first base. They've worked him a little bit at first base. And that's been talked about more than I kind of thought it would be. But they also, he's talked to Cam Kojal about catching, Robert, which, I mean, they need a little bit of depth, maybe more offense there. But Zane Becker had a heck of a week,
Yeah,
or
he did.
weekend, I'm sorry, excuse me.
He
So,
did.
anyways, but before we go to Becker, Cam Kojal and Nolan Souza at second base, it's interesting, but also we don't need to limit Kojal to second base, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, you love to have a utility guy, right? You think about somebody like Ben Zobrist from the 2016 Cubs, just playing everywhere, and that's how they ended up winning that World Series, right? You need guys like that. Another note on Souza, should have mentioned it when I said he was 1 for 7. Five out of those six times that he did not record a hit, they were strikeouts, and three of them came in the game Saturday. So, like you said, he was definitely struggling. You know, I think Brett Dolan made a comment on the broadcast. It looked like he was just guessing up there. It was Brett or Troy, I can't remember, but it looked like he was guessing up there. He did look lost a little bit. Kojal a lot more comfortable, it seems like, two extra base hits. But you know, I feel like Souza played a little third last year too. So, like you said, if Iredale gets hurt, you know, swap them any which way you want. Yeah, second base was interesting. You mentioned Zane Becker coming in and catching for Ryder Helfrich when he needed some time. Although it was interesting that Helfrich started both games of the doubleheader. Don't see that all the time. But yeah, Becker 2 for 3, had a couple of doubles in his first, you know, series at the SEC level. So he looked really good. Inspires a little bit of confidence. We talked about the lack of experience behind Helfrich at the catching position. So gotta feel good about his first showing in college.
I put me on the Zane Becker bandwagon after opening weekend, because so yes, Ryder started game two, but Zane did come in, I believe it was the sixth inning, as a pinch runner, and then came in as a defensive replacement. And then started game three on Saturday, hit those two doubles. I asked DVH about him at Swatters Club a couple weeks ago, and he basically was like, Zane hits the ball really well. And I hadn't seen that, you know, a ton, but after opening weekend, I feel better about him. And also defensively, I feel pretty good about Zane. In scrimmages, he was throwing some guys out. So this is somebody that I wasn't necessarily super high on entering the season, and now I feel much better about him after one weekend, to be fair. So,
Well,
but
you talk
that's a
about
go ahead.
good. So you talk about base stealing. I feel like there were a lot of attempts that did not go well for base runners this weekend.
Arkansas or just in general
Just
or
in general. I mean, let's see if I can find it. Runners thrown out two in the first game. You had two more in the third game and two more in the fourth game. So six caught stealings throughout the weekend.
I know at least one of those Gabe Frazier freshman, no offense to the guy, but he just I don't know if he misread a sign or something. There was another, I think, I want to say it was Ryder Helfrich tried to steal second at one point, and I almost remember putting on our message board, I don't know what Ryder Helfrich or whoever it was, I don't know who, misread a steal sign or whatever, but a couple of just mistakes by Arkansas, I think, more than anything on the base paths. But I DVH kind of made it clear that they're going to keep trying. But if you look around the SEC at just stolen bases after opening weekend, I mean, Arkansas is not anywhere close. What are we at? Arkansas's got, five, and you're looking, Florida's got 16, Oklahoma's got 15, Auburn's got 12, which Auburn only up 3-2 on North Alabama right now in the eighth. Keeping an eye on that one. All right, what else were we talking about? Oh, I wanted to talk about, so you mentioned Zane Becker. He did get the start there in game three. I wanted to talk about if there was anybody else crazy in game three. We did see Logan Maxwell get his second start. So he only played two games this weekend. We can talk about Logan Maxwell here.
Yeah,
Nursing
he's
a
got a revenge game coming up in Arlington.
got a revenge game, but he's nursing a little bit of a hamstring injury, Robert, which is why he didn't play and which was why he was DHing when he did play. So he had two hits opening weekend across seven at bats. DVH said on Wednesday that according to trainer Corey Wood, Maxwell is okay or good to go. But I think they're going to discuss it, see how he looks in some workouts, some practices, and then go from there. But Maxwell is a guy who can flat out hit straight from the mouth of Dave Van Horn. And I mean, you would like to have him starting in the outfield because when he's not starting in the outfield, you're asking a guy like Kendall Diggs to play in right, or Rocco Pepi played in right at one point this weekend. And I think they would just much rather have Logan Maxwell out there, Robert.
Yeah, seasoned outfielder. Nothing against Pepi and Diggs, right? We saw Pepi a lot at first, did get a little action in right field. We've documented on this podcast Kendall Diggs's journey as a right fielder. Started rough at first, but he's made a lot of strides to get where he is. And he had a pretty impressive catch on what looked like, if my memory serves me well, a interesting, let's put it that way, route. But I mean, you want outfielders with the most experience, and I feel like that's a big part of the reason you bring a guy like Logan Maxwell onto the roster.
let's see. Anything else? We went through the lineup, we went through the pitchers. Let's go through some of these stats from opening weekend. So one of the most notable things, Robert, here, Brent Iredale, the real deal. He is not following the trend of Caleb Cali and Vejeva Aloy of the 2 years prior, and he leads the team in average after opening weekend, leads the team in RBI, leads the team in hits. He had two homers. He's got nine RBI, seven hits, hitting
Should
four
have three
sixes.
homers, I think.
He should have three homers. He definitely. Okay, you were watching on TV. I was at the ballpark. What did I miss? Like, what ha why was it not a home run?
So it hit clearly the top of the wall, the yellow padding, right? But like on the horizontal side, not the vertical side facing home plate, right? I kind of thought it grazed like the bars, the metal bars in the hog pen first, and then bounced off the top of the wall and back into play. I couldn't really tell, and that's probably exactly why the call stood as a double. But he mashed that ball. If it's not 30 something degrees outside, I'm sure that ball travels a lot farther, and we're not even having this discussion. But point is, the dude can slug.
One of the bigger surprises from the weekend, Kohei Aloy, the transfer from BYU, younger brother of Vaheva. He gets two starts and makes the most of it, man. Three hits, two of those were home runs. Drove in four runs on the weekend. I mean, we heard it from DVH that he has the best exit velocity on the team, and he showed it. This dude can rake, and he gives you just another option because he can play outfield, and that's what they want him to play. They want him to play outfield. But he can also play a little bit of first base, you know, and he can pitch. He's not going to, that I know of, but and obviously he can DH. So Kohei Aloy giving you some more to think about. We talked about Cam Kojal. You know, Ryder Helfrich had a decent week. He had a double and a triple. And then Vaheva Aloy, also a home run. Only three players homered. Iredale with two, Kohei Aloy with two, and then Vaheva with one.
Should be noted that the younger Aloy is your team leader in OPS through four games.
Okay.
Small sample size, of course, but
His slugging is also just it's 1429, dude. It's freaking insane. So anything else? Any notable takeaways from the guys at the plate? Man, Reese Robinette, he had a
yeah,
couple of
we got to see Reese Robinette again. It's been a while.
opportunities. You know, he came in and I think it was game three on Saturday as a defensive replacement in the bottom of the ninth at first. So that's he might be that guy this year. But I think we can, and I hate to say it, I think we can close the book on Big Country at Arkansas. He's going to play this year and he's going to keep getting opportunities. And I really, more as much as anybody, hope that Big Country can turn it around and become what we thought he could. I just don't know, dude. And I don't even know why we're talking about Big Country over like Davalon or Justin Thomas Jr., but I saw his name and I wanted to talk about him.
You wonder if that one's going to end up on Freezing Cold Takes. You
I
never
hope
know.
man. I hope that Big Country can turn it around. That home run at LSU is one of my favorite Arkansas baseball memories. But
Absolutely.
he's
I
just
mean,
not he's not he's not doing what he should be doing in the opportunities that he gets.
well, and there's just so much talent on this roster that it's hard to slot in at all. So.
Yep. Carson Bowles, dude. Carson Bowles, the D2 transfer from Lincoln Memorial. He gets in. I believe he started on Monday.
Yep.
Another option in the outfield there. So yeah, he goes 2 for 4 at the plate. Started in right field on Monday. And I mean, I didn't see really much of anything from Carson Bowles in scrimmages, but he ends up, you know, having he had a double. Three hits on the weekend, two RBI. This is a guy who is trying to play, and they got a
Right.
lot of them now.
Pinch ran for Logan Maxwell when he came out of Saturday's game as well, so you got to feel good about Bowles' speed. Obviously, did a really good job in the box with his few opportunities. Was a defensive replacement for Pepe late in the blowout, I believe, on Friday. So, yeah, options, lots of them.
Lots of options. Pitching wise, so we talked about the starters already. We talked about Carson Wiggins, Will McIntyre, Adin Jimenez. Ben Bibee got on the mound for an inning. Tate McGuire threw an inning. Cole Gibler threw an inning. I'm excited about Cole Gibler. Parker Coyle, man. Parker Coyle's gotten better. Christian Fauch threw two innings, struggled a little bit, but you got your two closers in Fauch and Wiggins. Okay, so you got your three. We'll go with three starters: Gackle, Root, and Wood for now. Bidelshies is another option, but we'll call him long relief. DVH was asked, the guy who doesn't start, which is probably going to be Bidelshies, what is he going to do? DVH said they'll probably throw him at the end of the game, but really just dependent on what's going on in that game, they could, you know, bring him in the fifth or sixth, and then just let him go to a pitch count.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge advantage of having more guys who can start than starting slots, right? You look at what Washington State did on Monday, right? Jake Robinson, the starter, a lefty. I can't remember how many lefties were in the lineup for Arkansas that day, but there were, it was to the point where two hitters in, it's not going Robinson's way. Your boy Nathan Choate switches around to a right-handed pitcher and, throws the Razorbacks game plan off with matchups. You can use Landon Beidelschi like that if it's not going Gage's way or Gackle's way on any given Friday or Sunday, right?
Yeah. Other pitchers here. So we didn't get to see Colin Fisher, who was ready to go. He was warming up, ready to go in game four on Monday. DVH said he just didn't get in because they wanted to pitch Cole Gibler. So Colin Fisher, healthy and available. Hunter Dietz was, according to a team spokesperson, available over the weekend, but he did not throw. And DVH has basically said, and I want to pull up the quote here because I don't want to misspeak on it, but it was basically that he's not ready. So Hunter Dietz, not 100%. They don't feel like there's any issue there. It's just more of letting it rip instead of not letting it go. They're not seeing the velocity that they've seen in the past from Hunter Dietz. So you would love to have him as a lefty option, and it really sucks that he continues to be hurt because of how good that we know he can be and how highly they have talked of him. They've talked
Yeah,
as highly of Hunter Dietz as anybody on this pitching staff, dude.
exactly. You listen to DVH over the years, and especially the last two, and it's like, Hunter Dietz, this guy's great. When can we get him in? And the time just hasn't come yet. So keep holding out hope that something big is on the way if you're an Arkansas fan.
Yeah. All right. Before we transition to the college baseball series, we need to remind you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I am the publisher. Riley McFerrin, who's usually part of this podcast, is the managing editor. Robert used to be a part of the crew over there, and he's still an honorary member. If I have anything to say about it, so. We appreciate everybody who's on hogbeat.com. If you check us out, I promise you will not be disappointed. Today, we're recording on Wednesday. I had a wonderful, loaded notebook on Arkansas baseball, more than what we're just talking about here on this podcast. So you want to get on there, read it. That is premium, so you got to subscribe for that. But we also have a ton of free content as well, including links to our YouTube, which is where all the press conferences are. So check it out, hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We appreciate it. All right, Robert, Arlington is on deck, and the Razorbacks have the opportunity to get revenge on the last two Fayetteville regional champions, Kansas State and TCU. So, and then also Michigan, who is 4-0 after opening weekend and ranked in the Baseball America poll. We'll talk about that. But you start with Kansas State on Friday, 7 p.m. first pitch. You got TCU, the number 22 team in the country, according to D1 Baseball. That'll be 6 o'clock on Saturday. And then you got Michigan at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Get you home earlier than the other teams. Robert, how are we feeling? You're excited. You're flying in from D.C., right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'll be there about 12:30 on Friday, just in time to head on over to Globe Life, have a beer during the first game, enjoy some baseball, and then the Hogs play Kansas State Friday night. I remember in 2021 when the Hogs did this event, I asked Christian Franklin, just about the level of talent, and he gave me the quote that it was like, this is a College World Series 4 months before Omaha. And it's not quite that level this year. I think it was like Texas TCU, Texas Tech that year. But don't let the inferior teams distract you, right? Kansas State obviously beat Hagen Smith in Fayetteville in the biggest game of Arkansas season last year. TCU beat them twice 2 years ago to advance to eventually Omaha. And Michigan, like you said, 4-0. I believe that's the first time since 2019. And you may recall that in 2019, Michigan was one game away from winning the College World Series.
That's kind of crazy. That is crazy. So let's start with Kansas State, because that's the first team you're playing. That's the team that won the Fayetteville Regional last year. Oh, I hate thinking about that. The Wildcats are off to a 1-4 start in year seven of the Pete Hughes era. So they started their season at the Baseball at the Beach event over in Conway, South Carolina. The lesser of the two Conways, as I like to call it.
Yeah, not much beach going on in Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah. Still better than Conway, South Carolina. Gross. By the way, Riley finally responding. Justin Thomas Jr. can be the Moneyball guy. Okay.
All right, set it in stone.
Breaking news. So Kansas State's only win of the season so far is over college baseball powerhouse St. Joseph's. Robert beat them 12-7 on Sunday. They did lose a midweek game to North Carolina on Tuesday at the Boshamer Stadium. You remember that spot?
I sure do. Brady Slavin's walk-off single to send him to Omaha in 2022. Yeah, I mean, so they played UNC, they played Coastal a couple times, and who was the other team they played?
Let's see.
They lost to some
Washington.
good teams. Washington was the other one.
That's
They
who they
lost.
lost to Washington on opening day. I believe it was 9-2.
Correct. And like you said, St. Joseph's was the only team they beat. So, not like they've thrived against against good competition this year. We talked about it before we started recording. It was like, Kansas State might suck. And then we said on paper, right? They could always turn it around. You don't have to remind Dave Van Horn and company who were around in June of last year. But yeah, like I said, on paper, 10 errors through 5 games. And that's a big part of why they're 1-4, I would say.
It's 13, actually.
It is?
13 errors, Robert. I
Goodness
think
gracious.
I don't think Kansas State updated their stats. I had to go to the Big 12 stats page, like the
Okay.
official Big 12. So they are fifth in the Big 12 with a team batting average of 294, but they're second in the league with 55 strikeouts, and they lead the league with 13 errors, and they have a league worst 940 fielding percentage. So not
Making,
good.
you know, take advantage of the extra outs because they're averaging more than 2 errors a game. The opportunities should be there.
Fun name alert, Columbia transfer Seth Dardar. He has a team best 13 hits, and six of those are doubles, which is kind of crazy. So they also have a guy named Maximus Martin, who was at one point committed to Arkansas over the last transfer cycle. From a transfer from Georgia State. I believe he's only appeared in two games. Did hit a home run against North Carolina on Tuesday. So that's I'm sorry, that's Kansas State. I almost said South Carolina. I don't know who they're going to start at pitcher in this game, Robert. We would assume Arkansas is going to go Gabe Gackel. Not official yet.
Right.
So Kansas State on opening day, they started a guy named Ty Rule, redshirt senior right-hander against Washington, but he only went 1 2/3, gave up 3 runs on one hit. He walked three, hit two batters, had a wild pitch. Dang it, I put 2-9 loss to Washington. What an idiot.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
But
Also
he.
worth noting about starting pitchers for K-State, JJ Slack threw on Saturday or whenever their second game was. He also didn't make it out of the second inning, so they could, switch it up if they're not good with Rule. But it, if their number two option is pretty much in the same boat as him.
Well, Rule also threw 2 2/3 on Tuesday against North Carolina. Not sure about the guy you're talking about if he threw on Tuesday. So we don't know. We'll see. It's harder with some of these other teams. Not a lot of college baseball teams get the media coverage that Arkansas does, and so it's harder to like find out who these teams are starting sometimes earlier on in the week.
There's media coverage, and then there's, team social media accounts that are less active, right? Like Arkansas always posts its rotation on its team accounts, right?
Well, I don't know if it was TCU or Kansas State's page, but I was at one of them, and like their second to last thing on their homepage for like their baseball was a press conference from the College World Series. And it's like, did you not do anything preseason at all? So
Yeah.
that's just the kind of stuff that you're dealing with. And then you get to Michigan and it's like nothing. So
Right. I remember, researching the Wolverines for this exact event last year, and I was like, well, this is much difficult than the teams I'm used to.
yeah.
But yeah, don't let that distract you. The Wolverines, very good ball club. We'll get to them after we do the Horned Frogs here.
Yeah. Kansas State, just overall, a much different team than what you saw in the Fayetteville Regional last year. So, not going to be what you remember. A lot of new faces. And that's a big reason why they're off to a 1-4 start. So, Let's move it along to TCU, who the Razorbacks will play on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Ranked number 22 in the country, according to D1 Baseball.
It's up from 23, I believe,
Yep,
after the sweep of San Diego.
Kirk Sarlous in his fourth year at TCU. I feel like we have become very familiar with Kirk Sarlous during our time, but this is a team, you mentioned it, 4-0. They're the only Big 12 team right now with double-digit home runs. They hit 11 during opening weekend, which was pretty impressive. And you talk about a guy in Washington State transfer, Cole Kramer. So the Cougars could have used him this past weekend. He was Big 12 newcomer of the week. He went 7 for 12 at the plate, two doubles, two homers, drove in 6 runs against San Diego, Robert.
You mentioned the double digit home runs and being unique in that aspect. It's not like it's one guy contributing half of them. Four different guys have two home runs so far. Kramer's one of them. Their center fielder, Chase Brunson, first baseman, Isaac Cardenia, and designated hitter, Noah Franco. So, this is a lethally powerful team, it would seem. It feels like Arlington always plays a little bigger than most college parks, just based on the home run count that we have not really witnessed there over the past, 4 years since they've been doing this.
Hey, listen to this though. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Jason Jones hit one 460 last weekend
I
there.
did see that Jason Jones tagged one. Somebody, I can't remember who in our group chat, was like, he's the king of hitting meaningless home runs in Arlington.
Dude, somebody put like his stat line from I don't know if it was Sunday or Monday, but it was 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, and I was just like, I wanted to just say that's the most Jason Jones line of all time.
Quintessential Jason Jones experience.
I wish the guy nothing but the best. Keep going, Robert.
Anyway, yeah, big park in Arlington. So, who knows if we'll see a whole bunch of home runs from these frogs. But also worth looking at pitching numbers compared to Arkansas, right? I don't know how the Toreros of San Diego stack up to the Cougars of Washington State, but worth noting that the frogs had more team strikeouts from a pitching standpoint than the Hogs did, 45-37, and. Am I reading this right? 264. I can't remember when I wrote this, but 264 batting average against compared to 202. Let
You know
me
who?
get you who was who. Yeah. Okay, 264. Opponents are hitting 264 against TCU. I believe it was opponents are hitting 202 against Arkansas.
Okay. It's notable for TCU. Their ace coming into the season, Ben Abelt, preseason arm injury, out for the year. So that's worth noting. Another guy coming into the year that was just supposed to be a big piece of their team, Anthony Silva, a shortstop who's been there for a little bit. We know about him.
A
Only
couple
went
names
two.
I remember from 2023 for sure.
He went 2 for 14 at the plate with 7 strikeouts opening weekend. So, a couple of the guys they're expecting to be big time. Obviously, one's not going to play, and the other not off to a great start. Now, they do have Big 12 preseason freshman of the year in Noah Franco, an outfielder who's hit two home runs. He's one of those guys with two home runs. And then Wichita State transfer pitcher Tommy Lepore is who I think that's how you pronounce it, unless it's like French. How would you pronounce that in French, Robert?
You just add a ho-ho-ho to the end of it.
Okay. Six scoreless in his first start last weekend. So maybe that's who they start against the Razorbacks.
Yeah, that was an interesting stat line. I saw that myself, right? Six scoreless. He did give up six hits and walk one. Also struck out five. I mean, me and my expertise of predicting opponent starting pitchers, that's who I'm going to go with. Take that with a grain of salt, of course, but we do seem to be on the same page about that one.
Worth noting, TCU plays Michigan in their first game on Friday at 3 o'clock. So maybe the Wolverines can rough them up a little bit for the Razorbacks. We'll see.
Another note on TCU, I count seven errors. Maybe that one's more accurate than the K-State, but that's still, almost two per game, so. If you're Arkansas, you got to be looking to take advantage of extra outs.
I want to say their page was also not updated, but I could be wrong. But let's move it along to Michigan, a team that is 4-0. You mentioned it, first time in 6 seasons they've started 4-0. That includes a win over the preseason number two team in the country, Virginia. They started their season in Puerto Rico, and they also knocked off Rice, Villanova, and Stetson, Roberts. So third-year head coach Tracy Smith got the Wolverines off to a hot start.
Stetson, you know who went there? I'm pretty sure Jacob deGrom did.
Cool.
Might have to pull that one,
Cool, man.
fact check myself on that one. But
I
yeah.
mean, if we want to talk about pitchers that are never healthy and never available, I mean, do we want to talk about Max Scherzer at this point?
Yeah.
I feel like he pitched for a team at one point in his career that maybe probably should have kept him. Or were you, do you?
I mean that if you're gonna give me shit for the Nationals, then
Whoa! We don't cuss on this podcast, Robert. What are you doing, dude? Now we gotta freaking make this an explicit episode. You just ruined it.
you have got you've got some better options to choose from. They traded him after he was a World Series champion, as he was a pending free agent. You got better material to work with than Max Scherzer on that one.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he did get a ring with the team whose ballpark we're going to see this weekend.
Can you believe that we've done this podcast for 5 years? And of all the times that I've ranted about the Missouri Tigers and the Tennessee Volunteers and Vanderbilt's turf field, I've never once cussed, but you just cussed for the first time ever on this podcast, Robert.
Well, I feel like we've had this discussion a lot, and you're like, we don't want to limit ourselves, and then we just unspokenly have limited ourselves until
Yeah.
season five.
I don't know. Maybe you have cussed on this before. I don't remember. I don't. It's not important. Let's keep it rolling with Michigan. So they were picked to finish. I need to fix this story now because I put fifth out of six teams in the Big Ten. I'm an idiot, by the way. There's more than six teams in the Big Ten. The preseason poll only featured six for some reason, and Michigan was picked five out of those six. Three preseason players named to the Big Ten preseason players to watch list. Gavin DeVoot, is that how we're going to pronounce it? Do you see it?
I haven't seen
Dylan
it.
Vieg and Mitch Voit. So Voit started his season, two homers, four doubles in Puerto Rico. Outfielder Jonathan Kim, Robert, leads the Big Ten with nine hits for Michigan after their opening weekend. They ranked second in the Big Ten with a .525 slugging percentage and their 51 hits. 51 hits.
In four games.
In their first four games, ranks first in the Big Ten. Not bad.
This Wolverine team, don't sleep on it, right? It's tempting to. Big Ten's not really a baseball conference. For some reason, that list that Mason was looking at only said there were six teams. There are 17.
Look, I'm not gonna shoulder the blame for the Big Ten conference only putting six teams on their list, their
I'm not
preseason.
trying to put it on you. I don't know why that list was the way that it was, but anyway, fifth out of 17 seems a lot better than fifth out of six, right? I mean, Mitch Voit, I feel like I remember him being a two-way guy, pitching in Arlington last year.
He was definitely playing for them last year. I don't remember if he pitched or not.
Number 55, I think.
I don't know if he was
It was
55.
in my last scorebook, which I don't have on me, so I can't verify it off the top of my head, but
He could have pulled a Gage Wood and changed his number.
could have. But yeah, he's one of the guys to look out for. Cade Ladehoff, their DH, also has two home runs. This is a good squad. Do not sleep on it. It will be an exciting 11 a.m. matinee on Sunday. And you'll hopefully we'll get a feel for how they stack up against a team like TCU in the first game of the tournament on Friday.
Yep. And then obviously with them playing TCU on Friday, that means that they play Kansas State on Saturday, and then they play Arkansas on Sunday. So, again, not sure who Michigan's going to start against Arkansas, but this is a better Michigan team than you've seen at least last year. Did they play them on Sunday the year before last too, or am I making that up?
I don't remember having.
No, it was Oklahoma State. They went
Yeah.
TCU, or they went Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State.
Right.
Whooped up Oklahoma State that day, 18-1 in 7 innings. Let's pull up the box score from that one.
A mere matter of months after the infamous 2022 Stillwater Regional.
Jared Wagner drove in 5 runs. Tavian Josenberger goes 2 for 4. Who went yard in this game? Josenberger and Wagner went yard twice, I think. Brady Slavin's had a hit.
Just as I'm talking about the lack of home runs in Arlington.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hold on. Jace Borfin hitting 6th in the lineup goes 2 for 3. Jason Jones goes 0 for 2. I had 3 walks in this one. Struck out once.
Yeah, put a little respect on his name.
Okay. Parker Rowland drove in 2 runs in this game. That and so did John Bolton. Parker Rowland and John Bolton combined for 4 RBI in one game.
I think there were probably not many times in 2023 when John Bolton and Parker Rowland combined for 4 RBI and the Hogs lost.
Dude, I need to know the total RBI that those guys ended up with that season. Let's look it up. Roland 19, Bolton 19. So,
4 out of 38 came in that game.
yeah, in one game.
Anyway, I guess we should get back to Michigan here. A couple notes on the Wolverines pitching staff. You look at earned runs, strikeouts, batting average against, very similar numbers to Arkansas. I count 6 earned runs allowed. It was 7 for the Hogs. 42 strikeouts to Arkansas's 37. And you liked the Razorbacks 202 batting average against. How about the Wolverines 193? And we talked about the purple teams and their bad defense. Michigan's only got 2 errors on the year.
That is one thing that was uncharacteristic from the Razorbacks opening weekend. They had some errors, man. Would they have two? And let's be honest, there were probably a few plays. Okay, explain this to me, Robert. In the outfield, trying to think, there were a few plays in the outfield this weekend that maybe could have been ruled an error for Arkansas. And if none of them come to the top of your head, that's fine and we can move on. Do any
Yeah,
come to your head?
I don't recall. I was unfortunately not able to watch that closely.
Okay. I was gonna we were gonna get into scoring because you know much more about it than I do, but I am not capable of explaining to you exactly what it was. So we can move on from that. But Arkansas, I will say just overall the fielding not up to the Dave Van Horn standards that maybe I thought that it would have been. And he was asked about it on Wednesday. He said the outfield play was pretty average and they know that. Some balls there was miscommunication. But basically I think he felt like overall outside of that, he said something about a play at third or third base play was outstanding. Same with shortstop, first base, kicked one ball. One ball spun out of a first baseman's glove. Other than that, some nice plays. So
Yeah,
overall.
I think the left side of the infield looks really good for sure. I see what you're saying about the outfield now that I think about it a little bit. Not really scoring decisions, I don't know if you can chalk it up to that, but that's the kind of thing that you're not going to see reflected in a box score. You know, miscommunications, bad routes, who's got the ball. I definitely remember at least one between Thomas and Davalon in left center. Yeah, I mean, the only 2 errors I count that were charged on the series happened in game one, and then they played three, as far as the box score goes, clean games after that.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Some more notes I wanted to get in here. With the opening weekend series win, Arkansas has now won 30 consecutive non-conference home weekend series, which dates back to 2015, Robert.
That was an Omaha year,
Since Dave Van Horn's first season as head coach in 2003, they have swept 12 of their opening weekend series. The opening day walk-off, the first time since 2009 they did
right? Against the
so.
very same Washington State Cougars.
Yep, that happened. Arkansas has not lost or tied a non-conference regular season weekend series at Baum Walker since 2014. Can you guess that team that beat Arkansas in a non-conference series in
I'm
2014?
gonna go with Oklahoma State.
Final answer.
Yeah.
South Alabama.
I wasn't gonna pull that one.
Arkansas lost two of three games to South Alabama in its final non-conference home weekend series in 2014. And then last but not least, Monday's win marked the Razorbacks' 700th victory in the 30-season history of Bomb Walker Stadium, Robert. You
A
want to
place
hear
like home.
a crazy stat here?
Yes.
Arkansas maintains an all-time record of 700 and 243 at Bomb Walker Stadium, which equals to a percentage of 74.2. They win basically 75% of 3/4 of the games that they play at Bomb Walker Stadium, they win.
So, I mean, you're looking at some sort of back and forth between a sweep and a 2 out of 3 series every weekend
That feels
on
pretty
average.
good. That's what they call a home field advantage.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. Well, anything else we should add here on this episode, Robert? I feel like we pretty much knocked it out of the park on this one, as we always do here on the Diamond Hawks podcast.
Yeah, I think we're chilling. I'm just ready for Arlington, man.
I'm ready too. So we mentioned it. Your Razorbacks opening weekend sweep of Washington State, 4-0 after opening weekend in the polls. You're number five in D1 baseball, number five in Baseball America, number five in USA Today coaches. The National College Baseball Writers Association has you at number four. And Robert, perfect game for some reason has Arkansas up 13. I don't understand. It's just verbal meme, that dragon meme. One of these is not like the other.
Yeah. Good thing polls don't matter, right?
Well, only one matters, as we say on this podcast, and that is D1 baseball. I still don't understand why we just value any of these polls. Because
It's better.
the only poll that they, and it really comes down to what ranking is on the graphic on the broadcast is D1 baseball. That's the only one that matters. The only one that the NC, when you go to the NCAA.com or .org or whatever it is website, what rankings are they using, Robert Stewart?
It's always D1 baseball. I'm right there with you.
Okay.
I even those seem unimportant to me, and I'm sure that Dave Van Horn and company don't care either. But that's like you said, that's the one you see on the broadcast. That's the one everybody's going to talk about.
All right. Do you have anything else to add on this podcast?
Not me.
Okay. I think we should do a quick look at the standings in the SEC. Your undefeated teams: South Carolina, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Tennessee, Oklahoma. Tennessee, by the way, put up, I think, 28 runs on Tuesday.
Wow.
And Texas A&M also undefeated. Georgia 4-1, Vandy 4-1, Auburn 3-1, potentially 4-1 after this win over Northern Alabama. Mississippi State 3-1, Ole Miss 3-1, Texas 2-1, Kentucky somehow 1-1. We might
That
need to
game
look.
canceled, maybe.
I mean, yeah, we might need to look. Oh, I think there was some flooding in Kentucky.
Yep, that's true.
Okay. And then Missouri, not a shocker at all, folks. Your Missouri Tigers 1-2 after opening weekend. The only team in the Southeastern Conference with a losing record after opening weekend, the Missouri Tigers. And I have to just look up and see who they lost to. There's.
I'm on it. I'm on
You're on it.
it.
Penn State, they lost. They got shut out on opening day 10-0. Oh, they played in Puerto Rico with Michigan. Okay, they beat UConn 11-1, and then they lost to Stetson 9-7. Okay.
And they'll play UCF on Thursday, it looks like. If I were a betting man, I might put some money on the Knights.
Yeah, you know, so part of my take did this thing last baseball season where they literally every single Oakland Athletics game, they bet against the Athletics in this. I think they bet against this the spread. Should we do that with Missouri baseball every game this year?
That could be an interesting experiment. Let's look into that.
I think we should look into it as a podcast and as listeners of the podcast. Let's all look into it, and then we will come back next week and decide, are we going to bet against Missouri every game? the rest of the season.
I believe the Tigers are in Fayetteville the weekend of April the 4th. So we got about a month and a half to figure that out.
No, I don't want to wait that long.
Well, no, we don't have to wait that long, but you know, we can hand out numbers on Missouri against the spread going into that series.
Yes, good call, good call. Okay, so we'll do that. We need to pick a College World Series winner by our next episode. We
Oh,
do
true.
this. We do this every time. We got to pick one of those, and then we've already got our Moneyball guy, Justin Thomas Jr. So I think we're good, man. We knocked everything out. We appreciate everybody listening. And next week we will be back on the Diamond Hogs podcast. A reminder, one episode a week. So we're going to be breaking down the college baseball series in Arlington. We're going to be there live. So we're very excited to be there. We're going to be breaking down everything that we saw. And then looking ahead to another week of Arkansas baseball, man. It's exciting to be back. Opening weekend. It's great to be at the ballpark, Robert. Excited to be at a big league ballpark. Although, of all the big league ballparks there are, this one's kind of boring. And DVH loves it. DVH loves it as he should. He said that the grounds crew is better at this ballpark than the other ones he's been to. It seems like everything is great aside from the fact that everything's bland. Everything at this ballpark is bland.
That is true. I don't want that to take away anything from its value for this particular weekend. Like, this is the perfect place to go for a weekend of college baseball.
In February too, if you're in
Precisely,
Northwest
right?
Arkansas.
You know, it's not going to be warm this weekend in Texas, which is a bummer, but you know, it's not going to be covered in snow like Northwest Arkansas.
There's a lot
So
of snow on the ground here.
you know, do I want to go to Arlington for a regular season Rangers game? Not particularly. Will I make the trip every year to watch Arkansas play in a game in games that won't be broadcast on television? Yes.
Nice. Last thing, we always do weekend MVPs on this podcast. Now, I don't think that we should do that at this point because we already talked about the weekend, but I will say this is something new that I've noticed. So if you go to the Arkansas Athletics webpage, on the baseball tab, they have done players of the week. So you go, it lists Razorback Report week one. They've done their own players of the week, Robert. And I don't think I remember this ever happening. So player of the week from Arkansas baseball, Brent Iredale, who we mentioned, two home runs, four runs scored, had a double, nine RBI, two walks, also had a sac fly, leads the team in batting average after opening weekend. He was your player of the week. Your pitcher of the week, Gabe Gackel. Five innings pitched, one hit allowed, no runs allowed, one walk, seven strikeouts, .063 batting average against. That'll play.
That'll play. Both good stat lines and worthy of those awards. I will say, and I can get into this more on another day, but I think it's ridiculous that you separated, not you, Mason, but just generally, that it's separated into player and pitcher of the year, as to suggest that pitchers cannot be the player of, you know, whatever unit of time you want to go with.
Well, I'm sure if Gabe Gackel, went like seven scoreless, he might be player.
Just do hitter and pitcher, though. I mean, like, you're not gonna, maybe this will not age well, but chances are you're not going to select a guy for player of the week if he is super flashy in the field, right?
I get what you're saying, yes. I will say, to my credit, my wife asked me on opening day, who are you most excited to watch today? And I said, can I give you two? And she said, yes. And I said, Brent Iredale and Gabe Yackel.
There you go.
Who's your player and pitcher of the week? Brent Iredale and Gabe Yackel. Shout out to me. They also had a freshman of the week, Robert. Who's your freshman of the week?
Freshman of the week. I gotta study up on my classes. Zane Becker.
Oh, good guess. It was Carson Wiggins. They gave it to Carson Wiggins,
That's
the
fair.
guy who threw 100 miles an hour four times in a row. He also got his first career save on Saturday. So Carson Wiggins, he goes an inning, gives up one hit, no runs, no walks, one strikeout. I believe he faced the minimum. I could be wrong. Did he get a double play ball? No, he faced four because he gave up a two-out double, I think. I think he gave out two contact outs, double, and then a strikeout.
Foul out, ground out, double strikeout.
Yep. So Carson
Yeah,
Wiggins.
I liked what I saw from Carson Wiggins. Definitely shades of Jackson in there. Here's hoping he's a better quote than his brother. But hitting triple digits as a freshman, if he's got the command, he's going to be a force for sure.
Yep. Carson Wiggins, and he also looks just like Jackson
Yeah,
as
right.
well. All right. Well, first pitch on Friday, 7 o'clock against Kansas State. Saturday, 6 o'clock against TCU. Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. against Michigan. All of this streamed live on Flow Sports. We're not gonna do the rant again. Why should we do the Flow Sports rant? As
You know
always,
the drill by this point.
you know the drill by this point. Just subscribe to hogbeat.com. We'll have you covered. And appreciate everybody for listening. Thanks, Robert. And we'll talk to you next week on the Diamond Hogs Podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStu32.